the tidings was so against Truman and so against Archibald MacLeish. What was he? Was he Secretary of State? No, I don't know what he was. But they were so against the Truman administration, and they had so many that I cut them all out, and I gave them all to Helen Douglas, and she went back and took them all back, and she had she saw Truman, she had an audience with him, and she showed him all these clippings, and showed him what he says, what this is what the Catholics think of you out there in Los Angeles. And so he read them all, and he read them all, and he says, well, he says, I better be doing something for the Catholics then, hadn't I? And the next day he appointed an ambassador to the Vatican. They had, Roosevelt had had one, but when Roosevelt died, there'd never been another one. And so I was real mad at him. But he appointed, and I think it was just because he read how, he appointed a millionaire that I think gave this summer home to the Pope. Adolf, what is it? He appointed some real wealthy millionaire.
So, you know, mainly as a result of the...
Well, Helen said it was. I don't know. He says, I thought he put out some Pope, but he said he thought...
They gave him the better reviews and the titles.
I don't know, but he thought that he'd better be doing something for not making a matter. But that might be just like Harry.
I was wondering, how do you feel, basically, about women getting into politics? What do you see as the future for that?
Well, I think that like locally, the way that the Republicans in Renee Simon's district, that, of course, she's already a city council, but she has been so responsive to the needs of her district, and she's been the only one that ever has an open house at the public libraries every Saturday morning for anyone to come in, and she writes a weekly paper for our little weekly throwaway, the Marina News, that she's got more active Republicans in her campaign now for state senate, for she's proven herself there and proven by friendship. But I think that I don't think the women's lib is here as far as that goes, but I think that a qualified person's got certainly a lot more chance.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think she's going to have a good chance to be elected.
Do you think that the party is changing in terms of opportunities for women?
Well, they're being forced to.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so sorry for Chuck Manette, who's our state chairman, at an affair last summer that was in Roz Wyman's home, that she was the speaker, and she saw Chuck Manette on the periphery of the affair, and boy, he evidently shut her down at some national meeting that he was chairing and wouldn't let her talk, but she just wiped the earth off of him. I felt really sorry. Bella Abzug.
Bella Abzug.
Oh, but she was almost too crude. But she's very brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm so sorry that Helen got out of politics, because she was brilliant along with complete femininity too. But Abzug, you've got to admire her on her complete power and force of knowledge. But she's just as crude as she can be, too.
So,
I think that I think this Renee, of course, now she's maybe starting too old to get further than state senate, and that's an awful, powerful job if she gets it, because there's never been a woman in the California state senate. Never. And even the old Democrats up there are scared to death. But Renee had a $50 dinner out here the other night, if there were 450 people at it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's getting response.
Are you seeing more the change in women's candidates? So the numbers, it seems to me that there are quite a few more women running, and do you also feel that that there are more running, say, than people who might have before stayed in the
I think so. I really think so. And of course, the women in minority groups seem to have the better chances.
Mm-hmm.
The March Fong, you being, we had such a darling lady here, you know, this Kathy O'Neill running down here, but she was against a very strong, there were two men, a very strong man and a good strong woman. So that's, she got it by virtue of the third one, that they fought, the big vote was against each other here, so she came in. But she's, I think she's doing a terrific job. And years ago, at the 60th Democratic Convention, I met Patsy Mink, who was the congresswoman from Hawaii, and she was a Stevenson delegate. And she was so charming and so lovely. And I would talk to Mark Hannaford, our prison congressman, and asked him if, of course, after this Holden, Barbara, what's her name, made such a marvelous talk at this convention. What's her name? Oh, my. Anyway, I said, I asked him if she was a big leader in the Congress, and she says she never opened her mouth. And she says the big women leader is Patsy Mink. So she votes right, and she does her homework right, and says she's powerful on the committee she's assigned to because she's intellectual and does her homework and knows her stuff. Holden, it isn't Holden. Oh, Mother McCree. But she, I thought maybe, you know, she'd be the booming voice in the House all the time, but said that you never hardly know she's there, just on roll call. And her votes are always right. But she, the, today's paper, our paper had a big story on Patsy Mink. She's running for Congress now, for Senator now. And she talks about how much greater women's chances are now than they were.
Do you think the feminist movement has had an effect on that?
Well, it has had an effect, but it hasn't had the effect that, just like Virginia Waters last time running for Congress here, she figured that everybody would vote for her because, oh, this is a woman's year, this is a woman's year. Well, I couldn't vote for her because I know her too well. She's sharp as could be, but I just couldn't vote for her just because she's a woman. And she didn't get anywhere, and she ran for supervisor. And but it has paved the way, but it hasn't paved the way too much yet.
Mm-hmm.
It has just opened the gates. It has made people more conscious that there should be a woman, but I don't think women vote for women just because they're women.
Do you feel a lot of people believe that men will vote for men and they won't vote for a woman, but women will vote for a man or a woman? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think it's just the opposite. I think a man would vote for either a man or a woman,
mm-hmm.
and I think women vote more for men
than they do for other women.
For the other women. Unless they, I really think they do, because whether they're, I've talked to a lot of people, oh, well, what can a woman do? They just don't, they haven't sold in their own consciousness enough yet that the majority of women aren't women's libbers. They still go to the man.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, at our state committee meeting, the last time they were trying to divide who's going to bring, we were planning a big election night party, and they were going to sell, you know, they were going to give two drinks with the thing because their committee was bringing all the hors d'oeuvres. So they were passing out the, they were making, just asking the women. And so one of the other women said, why shouldn't the men bring things as well as the women to eat? And I said, well, you don't expect him to, do you? And she looked, well, of course I expect him to. So it just sort of automatically, I'd figure, well, five women then, five men there, well, the women would bring the food,
mm-hmm.
and but they didn't fix it that way, which they shouldn't have.
And you think it was right that it should be fair?
Sure, but it would just seem like natural that...
So it's more that people are used to things, the older women?
I think so. They're just more used to it, that they're changing, but gradually.
Do you think they should change then?
I think they should change in many, many ways.
Do you feel that in your activity, that you've been unusual, I mean, that you've had unusual opportunities for women to be behind the scenes, or are there a number of women in that?
I think women could have done it if they just did it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Goldstein said this, Goldstone, yeah. Do a thing and you have the power to do it.
So that you feel that it's just a matter
of doing it.
Of believing
it. Uh-huh. Now, Susie Clifton was so active in the Brown and all, well, she just did it.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of leaders, young women, and the young Democrats at that time, that, Ruth Rocket Ramsey got
went
to Washington.
The older Brown?
Not the older Brown.
Uh-huh.
The older Brown. Papa Brown. But one young Democrat, oh boy, did she step in, Shirley Filiatro. And this was, I haven't even gotten to Long Beach or San Francisco, my politics, but this young chap who ran for State Board of Equalization, who was our board member on the Board of Equalization? I know him so well. He was chairman of the Young Democrats, and he came down here in 58 to our headquarters. He ran in 58. He didn't have a penny, didn't have a thing, and if he hadn't been on our... mailing that we put out, he wouldn't have had a thing going for him because he didn't have a cent of money. But it was a straight mailer. He was state chairman of the Young Devils, and because I got dozens of pictures of him, I don't know if I got him in here or not. But when he got in at the right time, and a young girl that was on the Young Democrats, she was with them. Humphrey in Minnesota. She's from Minnesota, and she was on the Humphrey campaign, and she got acquainted with Toby Osis, and Toby got her in here, and this kid was elected on the Board of Equalization, and Shirley Filiatro has been running it ever since, and she's so brilliant and so brainy, and he's just a nice fellow, and nobody can, because he's honest, and of course they really don't have to have so much brains because they've got the accountants and everything in the office, but the main job is that he has to be honest. But I know when I had him make his first speech at our Democratic Club, and so afterwards he asked for any questions, and so I got up and I said, well, what qualities do you think that you have that we should vote for you for Board of Equalization? Other than that the Republican that had us in jail. That was Benelli. And so he pinched me as he got up, he said, I thought you were my friend. But he said, oh, that's a very powerful job.
Richard Nevin.
Nevins will do anything for me because he figures I got him in and I got his speaking engagements and then we got him on the council slate to be endorsed. So he went out all over this district on the council. So we had a mailing. And of course mailings, all that stuff cost, but because his timing was right.
Mm-hmm.
He ran, but Shirley got in as his, she's everything. I think she writes the speeches. Which doesn't seem fair, really. Because I think, well, sure, she should be the job, but she's very happy because she's got such a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kept it ever since. He'd know better than not to have Shirley.
So then there are some positions for women to gain through working behind the scenes.
Well, she sure did. Because she was an accomplished secretary anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And... She just had the brains and she just worked right in. But honestly, do you want to talk to anymore?
If you're, I think this would be enough for today.
Okay.
Yeah, I
guess. Okay.